Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's a show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, and really, did I really need to say enemies in light of the in light of the current tension? I apologize if I scared anyone by saying my enemies, but I'll get to them. And I'm still going to maintain my enemies list. I don't have an actual list, but anyway, you can tell who's on it, and you'll be able to tell as the show goes forward. And we'll have some. Let's start with. It's been a particularly bloody and horrifying week. I'll tell you how bad things have gotten. So we went for the monthly McBurney excursion into town earlier today, just to grab some lunch, get out of the house. So I'm standing at the ketchup dispenser at the local McDonald's. And a skinny, sweaty white kid with a gym bag walks up, and I had to go around him. I said, "Excuse me." And he said, "Hey, don't mind me, man. I'm just taking my own sweet time here." And I said, "Oh, I hit the button on the ketchup dispenser and it didn't work." And me and the sweaty, skinny white kid, we made eye contact, and I said, "Looks like the ketchup dispenser's dead." He said, "Yeah, a lot of things in here look like they are." So I tossed the ketchup container in the trash. I went to my car and got my pistol and then sat down and had lunch and kept my eye on the skinny, sweaty white kid with the gym bag. It was I'm paranoid now because of all the crackpots and nut jobs. What we had a slaughter at a Kroger grocery store. I can start with an update. Anyway, the skinny white sweaty kid with the gym bag, he didn't do anything, but an Arapahoe County Sheriff's deputy walked in right after him. Ordered something sweet and tasty and sat down, and I felt a lot better. It was nice to see. It was nice to see a sidearm visible there. Anyway, I'm probably too paranoid, though. Say what you want. I don't care. I went and I'm not going to leave my gun in the car anymore. That's all. I'm getting slack. But we start with an update. And this is from the See the System Work file. We started out last week with an update We started out last week with my first observation was yet another dead cop. And I want to apologize if I offended anyone and they think that was flippant to say another dead cop. But to be honest, when you're in the middle of a bloodbath, it's difficult to express the proper amount of concern and sentimentality and condolence as each life is due. It's just difficult when the bodies are stacking up left and right. And so I apologize if I offended anyone in the law enforcement community, but this should help my friends in the law enforcement community. On Monday, police officers shot and killed one teenager suspected in last week's fatal shooting of a Gwinnett County, Georgia officer. This is from Breitbart reports that Officer Antoine Tony was shot and killed, 30 years old. Fine, upstanding law enforcement officer. He had been called to investigate a suspicious vehicle near a junior high school. The caller said that they thought that the people in the car were smoking pot. And Officer Antoine came up upon the car and shots erupted from inside the vehicle. One shot hit Tony before he or his partner could even draw their guns. And Officer Tony was killed. Police chased one of the punks into the woods. One of the punks shot at the police. And then later he was captured. And then on Monday, Tafari Maynard was cornered in a shed. He was issued verbal commands. He grabbed a lawnmower blade. He grabbed a lawnmower blade, I said. He made an aggressive move toward officers, at which point 5 to 6 shots were fired at Maynard, killing him. Now, you folks know that normally I don't like language that deflects responsibility, but in this case, this reportage is appropriate. This is appropriate language. 5 or 6 shots were fired at Maynard, killing him. It's appropriate because none of the officers who shot and killed Tafari Maynard bear any guilt for killing him. In fact, they should each get a medal, probably, or at least get some recognition for preserving the domestic tranquility. So both of the punks in the car who were smoking dope shot at the police, and both had criminal records, and both were due in court in the not-too-distant future for theft and drug charges. And in the case of at least one, Tafari Maynard, see, the system worked. He will be excused from his upcoming court date because he has been dispatched to the final judgment by law enforcement, and we're thankful for that. Oh, by the way, so I've been accused on iTunes. I was on iTunes because I had to make some adjustments to my account, and I noticed that my podcast is available on iTunes. And there are 2 reviews. One is very short, and it says, "This is great." And the other is like 3 paragraphs about how I... the other is like 3 paragraphs about how I steal all my material from Bob Enyart. Oh. Which I freely admit that I do. Like, see, the system works? I stole that from him. And I don't always give him credit, but there you have it. So anyway, a few people, I don't normally do this, but if you want to prevent me from having to go onto iTunes and make up fake reviews, or I don't want to have to call my mom and have her go put up a review. So if some of you listeners would go to iTunes and put up at least a couple of reviews, I'm willing to confess to the theft of massive amounts of material, not only from Bob Enyart, but from others. And I lift a lot of stuff from the Bible, too. I don't have a lot of original material. I go to the source of original thought. Anyway, so we, it's been a particularly bloody and horrifying week. Started out on a positive note when law enforcement officers shot and killed Tafari Maynard. But it was a very difficult week. And not a good week for the just system. There's another one. Stole that from Bob Enyart Live. Oh, stole it from him. But from the just system file, we report from Franklin County, North Carolina. You remember last year here on the Weekly Worldview, we reported about this teenager who, well, not to put too fine a point on it, but he was approached by sheriffs at his home. He was standing at the front door with his mother's head in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. And he told the police that he killed his mother because, quote, "I felt like it," unquote. Uh-huh. I'm not going to say his name. Oh, I don't think they even, do they even publish his name? Because he was, yeah, they do say his name. I will not say his name. Anyway. He has been found not guilty. In fact, the Franklin County News Observer newspaper reports that the teen charged with beheading his mother in 2017 has been judged not guilty by reason of insanity and has been committed to state psychiatric care. That's right. Now, he had a hearing. He showed up at a hearing with the Superior Court judge there. And here are a couple of quotes from his hearing. Quote, "I just want to say I'm sorry," unquote. Quote, "Let's hope God forgives me," unquote. That's the teenager who's been found in not guilty by reason of insanity. Now, he sounds pretty rational to me. He says, "I just want to say I'm sorry." Let's hope God forgives me. I think he sounds sane enough to me that we should test his hope about God forgiving him by introducing him directly to God in person. Judiciously, of course, after the trial. But just the fact that he said, I want to say I'm sorry, to me that means he should be competent to stand trial. He knows he did something wrong. But no, not in the modern just system that encourages violence. This encourages violence, ladies and gentlemen. When the population in general hears over and over and over and over again that you can steal from, abuse, molest, assault, and even kill your fellow man and not be punished appropriately, that encourages violence. People are wondering, why is there so much violence? Is it because of Trump and the baseball hat? Is that it? Is it because of steroids? Is it because of marijuana? Is it because of the growing rift between Republican and Democrat and the red and the blue? Is that why it's becoming so violent? Well, there's a little bit of that, I'm sure, that has some influence and some impact, all of those little things. But there's a couple of big things. Number one is a system that encourages violence by failing to mete out justice in almost every case. Well, not almost. Failing to mete out justice in every case that we ever hear about all day, every day, every case. Back to Franklin County, North Carolina, where a doctor at the hearing of the insane lunatic child who beheaded his mother. Oh, I don't argue that he's insane. I got no problem with that. I just think he's not so insane he shouldn't be put on trial. And if convicted, he's certainly not so insane that he shouldn't be put to death publicly so that everyone can see that if you behead your mother because you, quote, felt like it, unquote, that you will be put down like a dog, as you should be. That's what people should see. Anything other than that encourages violence. But let's go back. The doctor described the teenager as extremely delusional, believing that he was acting on instructions from God. The doctor says he paced his room naked and barked like a dog. So there's three reasons right there to put this maniac to death. First of all, he thinks God's telling him to murder people. Pacing naked, barking like a dog, those are just two more additional check marks as to, yes, let's execute. According to the doctor, the killer said that Jesus wanted it to happen and that Jesus would have stopped him if he didn't want it to happen. Checkbox number 4, 3 strikes and you're out. We're going to execute. If you think Jesus wants you to murder innocent people, then okay. Yes, you're crazy. Yes, you're crazy. Also, yes, we're going to put you to death. But not in the justice system. For whatever reason, he will be... he's been remanded to state psychiatric care. Yeah. One more from the justice system file. Ray Carruth. Does everybody remember Ray Carruth? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Do you remember Ray Carruth?
The Ravens guy?
The Ravens guy. She's very close.
I don't know.
Ray Carruth was a wide receiver in the NFL back in 1998, right? And if you remember, November 16th, 1999, 24-year-old Sharika Adams. Remember, that was Ray Carruth's girlfriend. She was 8 months pregnant. They went out on a date, and they left in separate cars. Ray Carruth pulled out ahead of Adams and remained in front of her vehicle as they went down the road. At some point, driving through Charlotte, North Carolina, a car pulled up next to Sharika Adams' car, and shots were fired into her window, and she was hit 4 times. Now, there's an example of urinalism. Now, in the previous story, the police bear no guilt, so it's appropriate to write that 5 or 6 shots were fired at the killer, killing him. But here, shots were fired and she was hit 4 times. Instead of just putting it simply, she was shot 4 times. How about that? Anyway, now listen to this. This is the way CNN reports the story of the murder of Sharika Adams. Here's what they say. Prosecutors said Carruth used his vehicle to block Adams' car so the hired gunman could shoot her. Excuse me, CNN. If I'm not mistaken, Carruth was convicted. So how can you say prosecutors said? Is everything alleged even after the conviction? Anyway, maybe because he wasn't convicted of first-degree murder. I remember this was a horrible miscarriage of justice, if I remember correctly. He should have been put to death. Anyway, so Sharika Adams shot to death. Doctors were able to save the baby, but Sharika Adams died. Ray Carruth was convicted in 2001 of conspiracy to commit murder, discharging a firearm into occupied property, and attempting to destroy an unborn child. Destroy, they say. Attempting to destroy an unborn child because they don't want to use the word murder or anything like that. That would imply it was a person. Anyway, he was not convicted of the most serious charge, first-degree murder, that could have resulted in the death penalty if we lived in some alternate universe where NFL superstars actually get the death penalty. But don't worry. Ray Carruth's death penalty is coming, and he knows it. Ray Carruth is a modern-day equivalent of Cain. He's getting out of prison, and here's what he had to say when he was being interviewed by the TV station. Ray Carruth said, "I'm nervous just about how I'll be received. It just seems like there's so much hate and negativity toward me," he said, having murdered his girlfriend and attempted to murder his own child. Yes, yes, Ray Carruth. Yes, you will bear a mark. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I want to make it clear. Maybe I wasn't clear because I get so wrapped up in the details of the story and then my vitriolic hatred for Ray Carruth that he was released from prison last Monday morning. He walked out a free man and was driven away from the prison. He is out there. Also want to be very clear. He has apologized for killing his girlfriend. Said he sincerely apologizes. And he's not sure if he's going to be able to work. But from what I understand, Live Nation is working on putting together a speaking tour with Ray Carruth and I believe it's Ray Lewis possibly O.J. Simpson, and they'll be, you know, they'll be invited into public schools. You'll be able to buy a ticket, and they'll tell you about the perils of that whole thing kind of fell apart. What are you going to do? Disgusting. So allowing Ray Carruth to get out of prison and walk among us and probably end up in some sort of entertainment career, that's my guess. What else is he going to do? I mean, the guy's a freak show, right? He's like a circus freak. And so he'll have some sort of entertainment gig. And that encourages violence in our society. It encourages those mentally deficient people teetering on the edge of acting out on their violent desires to actually do so. It's injustice that is making us a more violent society. It is the violence being visited upon the populace by the justice system, by the lawyers and the judges who write the laws, who make up stupid, crazy laws, allowing people who should be killed to live, and upholding the principle that those who should not be killed can be killed. Those who should be allowed to live can be killed. And those who should be killed, Ray Carruth, Ray Lewis, O.J. Simpson, they are allowed to live. So we go to Mexico to talk about those who should be allowed to live. We talk about unborn children. This is from the Guttmacher Institute. The headline from their press release: despite being largely illegal, abortion in Mexico is far more prevalent than in the United States. Largely illegal. That phrase caught my attention, because what other human activities defended as constitutional rights are largely illegal? Are there any other activities that you and I engage in that are defended as rights under our Constitution that are largely illegal? Well, there might be. Prostitution. That's largely illegal, but not everywhere. Gambling is largely illegal, but it's not everywhere. Marijuana, smoking marijuana, selling marijuana, buying marijuana, that's largely illegal, but it's not. Now, none of those are defended as constitutional rights yet. Nobody says you have a constitutional right to be a prostitute or to hire a prostitute, to gamble, to deal drugs. Nobody says that yet. Well, they don't have to anymore. So all these, now one thing that I think we can agree on about all of these things, prostitution, gambling, drugs, they're immoral. Well, maybe we can agree on that. Maybe that's one of the problems. People wonder, why is our society becoming more violent? Because there are a set of commonly understood civilizational mores that we no longer agree on. The biggest one being the murder of innocent children. That's the biggest one. So people, I was disgusted, frankly, at when the killer went on the massacre at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. I was disgusted at how fast the talking heads on the cable news turned the discussion to how does this affect the midterm elections. It was disgusting to listen to on both sides, no matter which channel you listen to. I shouldn't say both sides. On the one side, the Fox News side, the MSNBC side, the CNN side, the ABC, NBC, CBS side. It was stunning and disgusting to hear how fast they started relating it to how this affects the midterms. And who's to blame? Who's to blame? Who's to blame for all of this? And, of course, the killer is to blame. The maniac who went on the massacre is to blame. Ray Carruth, he's to blame for killing his girlfriend. The teenager in North Carolina, he's to blame for beheading his mother. Tafari Maynard is to blame for killing Officer Antoine Tony. That's to put it simply. But since they're not getting their due, what happens to all that angst and all that blame? Well, it gets vomited out on the rest of society. Stealing another line from Bob Enyart, the justice system cannot deny the death penalty. They simply redirect it and amplify it upon other people when it is not instituted properly. And so when it comes to abortion, one of the problems is that abortion, being well known to be immoral and the killing of innocent people, is largely illegal. Meaning that it's legal, by the way. It's restricted. Even in Mexico, they say, let's read from Guttmacher, says, legal restrictions virtually ban abortion, meaning it's not banned. If something's virtually banned, that means it's not banned by definition. Legal restrictions virtually ban abortion during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. And then they go on to say that actually more women in Mexico per capita are getting abortions than even here in America. And what is Guttmacher's conclusion? So the story Guttmacher put out is that abortion is heavily restricted in Mexico. Per capita consumption of abortion services is higher in Mexico than it is in the United States. So the Guttmacher Institute's conclusion is, quote, these findings confirm that making abortion illegal does not significantly decrease its frequency, unquote. So they say, why not just make it legal? Oh, because they decry the fact that more Mexican women seeking abortions end up in the hospital from complications than in the U.S. So the Guttmacher Institute says we should just go ahead and make it legal and stop with all this playing like it's not legal. And the thing is actually making abortion illegal would restrict and decrease its frequency. See, when you make it largely illegal, that means it's not illegal. And so the fact that killing innocent people is not illegal, that tells society at large, day after day, after week, after year, after decade, after generation, that teaches the society at large that murder is an option to solve problems. It's a legitimate, viable option that you may or may not choose, and it may or may not be legal in certain cases. But one thing the justice system tells us is that you certainly will not be punished as you should if you do murder someone. And so we've got the two issues that are driving the violence in our society is the legal murder of innocent children as a viable option to solve problems, teaching society that killing our fellow man is an option. And then the justice system, redirecting and amplifying the death penalty upon the society at large. Those two things. So one more thing on the Guttmacher story about abortion. I said that actually making abortion illegal would decrease its frequency. Yes, it would. Also, actually making abortion illegal would reduce adultery and fornication, which are two of the leading causes of murder and suicide in our society right now. So we could reduce an awful lot of the symptoms in our society that are raising the fever to a fever pitch, exploding into violence, if we would simply actually make killing people illegal and then treat people who murder other people as they should be treated. They should be put to death swiftly and painfully and publicly. And that would begin to reduce the fever. That would be the first dose of medicine that could help reduce the violence and take the heated political rhetoric down a notch.
Straight down the rocks. got it! It's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm back. I want to go to... Well, this will be the most controversial segment of the broadcast, and this is where I will probably alienate a few people, but, you know... I'm just going to say what I have to say, and you people can take it for however you think it's worthwhile. So we go to the Tree of Life Synagogue, Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh. I downloaded the story. 8 were dead. I had to update it. 11. 11 dead in a Nazi massacre from one of these unstable, mentally deficient people teetering on the edge between just hating people or acting out on that and actually killing them. And this particular Nazi anti-Semite maniac, for the reasons that I've discussed in the first half of the show, decided this Shabbat to act out and to kill these people. These beautiful, innocent people murdered. And so the governor there calls it a tragedy. Governor Tom Wolf says it's an absolute tragedy. Governor Wolf, you're a fool. This is not a tragedy. A tragedy would have been if there was a mudslide that hit the synagogue. This, the responsibility for this, Governor Wolf, can be laid directly at your feet, for your entire political career has led us to this. Everything you've done in your political career, Mr. Wolf, every bit of injustice you've tolerated, every budget you've signed that authorized the murder of innocent people has led to this day, Mr. Wolf. You should resign in shame. A tragedy. Get out of here. You're responsible, Mr. Wolf. He goes on. He says, these senseless acts of violence are not who we are as Americans. Mr. Wolf, they are who you are. You're covered with blood, Mr. Wolf. This is just the latest splashing upon you. You're covered with it. You've presided over the murder of hundreds of thousands of citizens in your state, Mr. Wolf. Wherever you started your career, and I don't even know who this guy is from Adam. I don't know if he's a Republican. I don't know if he's a Democrat. I don't know where he got his law degree or how long he's been the governor or how long he's been in government. However long it has been, he has presided over bloodshed and injustice. And Mr. Wolf, you are this. This is who you are. This reflects exactly who you are and what you have done. You, Mr. Wolf, and the other lawyers and the rest of you have taught two generations now that murder is a viable option and possibly even a right in certain circumstances. Donald Trump tweeted, before the blood was even dry on the concrete at the synagogue, Donald Trump tweeted just something inane and then ended in God bless all ! Putting the name of God on his lips in the face of this bloodshed that he is responsible for. Donald Trump is responsible for this bloodshed as much as anyone else is tangentially responsible other than the killer himself. Donald J. Trump is as responsible as Tom Wolfe or as George W. Bush or as Barack Obama or as Bill Clinton or as any of the other politicians who have presided over the massive injustice and bloodshed over the course of the lifespan of this Nazi maniac. He was some 40-some-odd years old. God bless all, says Donald Trump. Ivanka Trump, as they were squeegeeing the blood from the floor of the synagogue, she tweeted out something inane that ended in God bless all affected, Ivanka Trump. Pro-abort harridan, Ivanka Trump. Advocates for the legalized murder of innocent children and has her entire adult life. Ivanka, you are responsible. As anyone else, any other politician who has presided over the bloodshed and the injustice, Ivanka, you are responsible. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be in tears today, weeping over what you've done to destroy our nation. So it seems to me, and I'm a bit of a pessimist, I must admit. I am a pessimistic person when it comes to the secular view of things. But it seems to me that the election of Donald J. Trump and Mike Pence signaled a turning point in the national battle over child killing. It just seems to me that things have changed. The election of Donald J. Trump and Mike Pence signals to our side, those of us who believe that an innocent child has a right to life, an innocent child is a person. To kill an innocent child is murder. That our side has been officially informed at the highest levels of power that the discussion has ended. Shut up about it. The killing of innocent children has been officially declared an election issue only. You can bring it up at election time, otherwise shut up about it. The discussion has ended. Anyone against child killing is expected to understand that the time has come to be polite and to stop bringing it up, just like our fearless leaders, Donald Trump and Mike Pence. You can bring it up in the right time and place, when there's an election to be won, when there's funds to be raised, when there's fundraising letters that need to be sent out. It's fine to mention abortion. Maybe now and then, at the right time and the right place. But the actual battle to end child killing has been ended by the pro-life industry. They have declared that it's over. They have a fit. Now, it seemed like that. Don't get me wrong. It seemed like that for the last 20 years. It seemed like this was merely a political argument, and there really was never any intention of any politician to actually fight to save the life of even one child. It seemed like that. But now it's official. So those of you Republicans, those of you independents, those of you conservatives and Christians who voted for Donald Trump out of fear of Hillary Clinton, this is what you have wrought. The discussion over an actual battle to end child killing is officially over. And we're all going to be polite now. We're going to follow the lead of Donald Trump and Mike Pence and only bring it up at election time, like polite, civilized people. Sickening. And you know what? If that offends you, get over it. No, don't get over it. You should sit and you should mull it over and soak in it. Mike Pence makes me sick. I want to puke every time I see that mealy-mouthed, squirrely, lying, filthy, blood-covered killer. You know who's responsible for all the bloodshed this past week and all the heated rhetoric and the tension in the air? Is Mike Pence. He is as responsible as any other of our political leaders for what this has done. By the way, the shooting at the Kroger store virtually uncovered. It has virtually been not even talked about. Guy walks into a Kroger, shoots two people dead. Jeffersontown, Kentucky. This Nazi maniac killer walks in, he shoots a man dead, walks out in a parking lot, shoots a woman dead. And then listen to this. A gentleman there was waiting for his, Ed Harrell was waiting in the parking lot. He heard the gunfire inside the store. He was carrying a revolver. So this maniac killer comes out, shoots someone in the parking lot, walks by Ed Harrell. They make eye contact momentarily, and the killer says to the civilian, "Don't shoot me, I won't shoot you. Whites don't shoot whites." And they exchange gunfire. Unfortunately, the maniac killer was not killed. He was captured instead. Oh, and by the way, this maniac Nazi killer at the Kroger grocery store, you wonder why I'm worried at McDonald's when there's a white kid too sweaty with a gym bag acting weird. Why am I paranoid? This is at Kroger. This is at the grocery store. Well, this maniac had a long criminal history, including a protective order out against him by his ex-wife, charges of second and fourth degree assault, menacing, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, terroristic threats, and intimidating a witness. This guy should have never been walking the street. He should have been either awaiting trial or in the ground. Oh, by the way, I downloaded this story from AOL News. AOL News, the Urinalist reports that the killer also struggles with mental illness. He struggles with it. And you know, when you're struggling with mental illness, sometimes you might wonder if maybe killing people could be an option. And what is the signal that you get from society and from authority? The signal is, well, maybe it is an option. Maybe it is something to consider. And in this particular maniac's case, he decided to choose murder as an option. And every politician, that's why I would encourage anyone out there who's thinking they want to run for Congress or they want to be the governor or they want to, just don't do it. Don't do it. Because you will be compromised the moment you walk through the whatever you win and you become and you're going to change the world, you're going to save America. Don't kid yourself. These are killers. They're full of blood and they'll devour you. America cannot be saved through democratic politics. I can assure you of that. And to participate is only to participate in the bloodshed. So that's my advice to anyone considering running for office to save America. You can't do it. Don't be foolish. All right, now, how about some good news? Let's go to the war hero file, because I don't want to be depressed anymore. Joachim Rauenberg was serving behind enemy lines in his native Norway in 1943. He had escaped. He was born in 1919 in the town of Ålesund in Norway. He fled to Britain after the Germans invaded. He received training and then returned to Norway for several missions during the war. In 1943, he blew up a plant producing heavy water that was the key to later development of the atomic bombs. A 23-year-old Norwegian kid climbs back through the barbed wire and blows up the Nazis' nuclear research facility. He was picked to lead the raid at 23 years old, the youngest member of Operation Gunnerside, which penetrated and destroyed key parts of the heavily guarded Norsk hydro plant occupied by the Germans. The attack took place, listen to this, he blew up the Nazis' facility without firing a single shot, him and his team. They later talked about what they called a suicide mission. They parachuted onto a snow-covered mountain plateau. In a small group teamed up with a handful of other commando soldiers before skiing to their destination, penetrating the plant on foot, and blowing up the heavy water production line. Rauenberg made the last-minute decision to cut the length of his fuse from several minutes to just several seconds. He did it to ensure the explosion would take place, but it did make it more difficult for him to escape, but he did escape. And while a manhunt ensued, he and his team fled hundreds of kilometers across the mountains, skiing to safety in neighboring Sweden. After the 1945 liberation, he gave speeches and lectures warning against the destructive force of totalitarianism. A genuine war hero. He died last week at the age of 99. And so Joachim Rauenberg, Jewish, by the way, he did not attack the Germans through a traditional means. So I warned you young people earlier, you're thinking you can save America by running for office? No. You cannot save America through the conventional means. The only way to save America is through some sort of, it's like some kind of super secret suicide mission. But you're not going to be able to do it through a frontal democratic assault, because you'll just be killed just like the Nazis would have killed Rauenberg. Instead, we're going to have to parachute behind enemy lines.
about these words down for you. Will the pages of friends as all things will never do? Chaos of blood of the candle, and I'll put you there. Since you can't say to me now how the dog broke your bone, there's just one thing left to be said. Say, Lord, heaven, heaven, yeah. Say, Lord, heaven, heaven.
It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you with us this week. And I was going to go from that story, Joachim Rauhenberg. Next in the stack was a story about Bruce Jenner, but I just can't do it. But as I look through the stack of stories that I have here, I'm not able to find an appropriate... Well, you know what? Here's something appropriate. Here's how things have changed from 1943 to 2018, the Office of the Inspector General of the United States, investigating the United States Department of Agriculture, says that millions and millions and millions of dollars have been funneled from our food stamp system into the pockets of terrorists. You've heard of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. They call it SNAP. It's to help mothers and children because we care so much. Well, terrorists, through their hawala, which is an Arabic term for a transfer of a trust, they've set up. These terrorists have set up the hawala system. Oh. Now, the hawala is not necessarily nefarious. Mm-hmm. About $7 billion flows into Pakistan from the United States every year through the hawala. And that's through good, nice Muslims who love us. So they send their money back to their destitute, poverty-stricken families back in Pakistan. But it turns out a lot of it has gone to terrorists. In fact, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing was basically funded by SNAP. Thank you very much. $125 million went into the account of Mahmoud Abu Halima. And he funded the attacks by operating a multi-million dollar food stamp fraud scheme out of a video store in Brooklyn. All right. In 2006, a judge sentenced a Chicago grocery store owner to more than 4 years behind bars for stealing $1.4 million and sending it to Palestinian Islamic Jihad. He sent a group called Islamic Jihad $1 million. And he got 4 years in jail. Meaning that if you're a terrorist here and you're considering maybe funding terrorism abroad, well, it's a legitimate option. I mean, if you get caught, you might do two and a half years with good behavior. And if you can walk away with $1 million, that's not a bad take. So the politicians who are responsible for the bloodshed and the mayhem in our streets, they're also responsible for the terrorism. The guy, the grocery store owner in Chicago should have been put to death for giving $1 million to a group called Islamic Jihad, for crying out loud. This was in 2006. This was after 9/11. All right. Now let's go to San Francisco International Airport, to the new Harvey Milk Airport Terminal. Yes, they're soliciting artists to create panoramas, pictures, paintings on the walls to describe the life of Harvey Milk at what is going to be dubbed the new Harvey Milk Terminal. Harvey Milk Terminal there at San Francisco International Airport. Do you folks remember Harvey Milk? Harvey Milk was an openly homosexual city council member in San Francisco who also molested boys. Okay, and then he was also not a very good person on top of that. Listen to this. Author Daniel Flynn was researching his book, Cult City, about Jim Jones and his relationship to Harvey Milk. Uh-huh. He discovered that research institutions around the country are full of correspondence from Harvey Milk to Jim Jones, the cult leader. Remember Jim Jones, Jonestown in Guyana, the mass suicide of some 900 people? Well, Harvey Milk and Jim Jones were good friends. They got along. There's lots of letters in between them and letters from Harvey Milk to powerful leaders defending and praising Jim Jones. And many other San Francisco politicians, by the way, were associated with Jim Jones. Oh, yeah. Future Mayor Willie Brown, good friend. Carlton Goodlett, he was very, very friendly with the People's Temple leader. Here's what Milk said in a letter to the Guyanese prime minister. He said, "Such greatness I've found at Jim Jones' People's Temple." Milk later, unquote. Milk later wrote a letter to Jimmy Carter. To Jimmy Carter, who is the sitting president of the United States. Harvey Milk said, "Reverend Jones is widely known in the minority communities as a man of the highest character." He wrote a letter to Joseph Califano, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, describing Harvey Milk described the People's Temple as a beautiful retirement community in Guyana, working to alleviate the world food crisis, is what they were doing. But author Daniel Flynn reports, as with so many homosexuals and egomaniac cult leaders, their relationship was mostly transactional. Jim Jones provided Harvey Milk with printing presses and conscripted campaign volunteers, along with a lot of free publicity. And in exchange, Harvey Milk provided Jim Jones with legitimacy. In his letter to Jimmy Carter, whose wife knew Jim Jones personally, Harvey Milk pled with the president not to intervene in a custody battle. You see, one of the boys that Jim Jones had kidnapped and was keeping in Guyana against his will, the boy's parents were trying to get him out. Mm-hmm. Harvey Milk asked President Carter not to intervene, accused the mother and father of lies and engaging in blackmail. And Jimmy Carter did not intervene.
He didn't.
No, he did not. It took some congressmen who finally did intervene, and one of them was killed. Also, the boy, John Victor Stowen, whose parents were accused by Harvey Milk of being liars and blackmailers, John Victor Stowen died in Jonestown without ever seeing his parents again. And so who's responsible for Jonestown? Well, Jim Jones is responsible for Jonestown primarily. But does Harvey Milk bear some?
No.
Does Harvey Milk perhaps bear some guilt? Is it maybe Jimmy Carter bears some responsibility, some culpability, some tangential culpability in the murder of 900 people? But you know what, folks? 900 people is just, that's like falling out of the bed level of bloodshed for these politicians. They have Jimmy Carter in his 4 years as president. He presided over the murder of millions, 5 million innocent children. 900 dead in Guyana. One dead homosexual city council member. Anyway. So now we'll go to Caitlyn. No, not Caitlyn Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Amazon is being criticized for selling a Bruce Jenner parody Halloween costume. Uh-huh. I know. I saw the picture. I thought it was hilarious. The costume is based on Bruce Jenner's Olympic. He's got the Olympic outfit on, but then it has a long-haired wig to parody Jenner's 2015 gender transition. And, well, the homosexual community is absolutely freaking out about it. They're going crazy. I've got a quote here. From who is this? The president of the Beaumont Society transgender organization, Pink News, Jane. Jane says, quote, "The transgender community has been getting quite a battering in the media recently." At which point everybody was like, huh? Where? When? When has the transgender community been anything but worshipped in the media lately? I had hoped that cisgender people had become tired of such stunts and realized that it's not funny. No one chooses to be trans. It's the way we're born. It's who we are. I hope that no one will want to buy that transgender costume. Other LGBT rights groups have condemned the Halloween costume, but the costume is still listed for sale on Amazon. So if you hurry, folks, you can still get it. Several universities have banned politically correct Halloween costumes and have sponsored workshops about culturally insensitive costumes like the transgender costume. Yes. Folks, these are the same fascists. These people running the culturally insensitive costume classes. These are the same fascists that Megyn Kelly thought that she could make nice with over at NBC and that she could have her career there amongst the people who she really, really, really wishes would like her. She thought she could make nice with them, and I must say, it was delightful to see them turn on her and devour her fake, phony persona. Maybe it's possible because where there's life, anything is possible. Megyn Kelly will be able to someday resurface as a real human instead of what she had become before she was killed and eaten by the left. All right, what else? What else? Martin Scorsese met with the Pope. So the Pope is being overcome by the molestation crisis. The guilt of the hundreds and hundreds of priests who molested thousands and thousands of children. And he meets with Martin Scorsese. Are you folks familiar with Martin Scorsese? Martin Scorsese directed the 1988 film The Last Temptation of Christ. Need I say more? Well, he was invited to address Pope Francis at a book presentation on the occasion of the synod. You know, the big synod that we've been reporting on. It's called the Synod of Bishops on Young People. Well, that's not the title I would have chosen in light of some of the recent revelations. The Synod of Bishops on Young People. I might have gone in a different direction. But there it was, and Martin Scorsese was there. By the way, this is the second time the Pope has granted audience to the director of Taxi Driver, The Wolf of Wall Street. And did I mention The Last Temptation of Christ? Did I? Martin Scorsese, is the irony lost on anyone out there? There. Yeah. All right. Finally, folks, reason number 1,170 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They may think that becoming a drag queen is a legitimate career option. That's right. Rocky Top Middle School, Thornton, Colorado, invited a drag queen to speak to 6th through 8th graders. The drag queen goes by the professional name Jessica Lahore. Uh-huh. The district confirmed she was invited to attend Career Day. The staff at the school believe the visit would demonstrate their inclusiveness of all, no matter how they prefer to dress. An event representative of the diverse backgrounds and careers that are available here in our beautiful Thornton community. Could be a welder, you could be a fireman, you could be a drag queen. I mean, you know, what? People are upset? Oh! But, well, the school district has decided they are not going to apologize to concerned parents for hosting Lahore, but they have apologized for not giving parents notice that a transgendered, cross-dressing, drag queen, homosexual, pervert was going to be speaking to their sixth graders. We've got a quote from one of the administrators says, parents should have known in advance who was going to be speaking. And that didn't happen in this particular situation. Darn it. Parents just needed to have more info. Info, I said. And they needed more context. And of course, next time we'll make sure. Lahore says, for her, she says, I would tell the parents, hey, I'm not telling your kid to go off and become a drag queen. I'm telling them to have the conversation because it will come up in life. Excuse me, Ms. Lahore. Becoming a cross-dresser, that's not going to come up. I'm sorry. Get out of here with that. That's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. Go to iTunes and post a review so I don't have to get after my mom to do it. Help me out. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, for making it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Until we meet again, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.